media. I heard a young man last week say, I wasn't really trying to overhear him, but I walked by and I heard him say to someone else, if my phone's not in my hand, I don't feel human. We live in an age where you can be in touch with anyone at any time instantaneously through social media. But social media is not new. This is social media of the early 16th century. It is a pamphlet. Martin Luther wrote lots and lots of short little pamphlets, which were then printed because Luther lived just about 50 years after the invention of the printing press. And these little pamphlets were printed up and they were distributed all through Germany and Europe. Luther's movement, if you do not know this, was the first mass media movement in history. And one of those pamphlets Luther wrote was on the freedom of a Christian. He wrote it in 1520, and he addressed it to none other than Pope Leo X, the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church. Luther wrote this and dedicated it to the Pope because he didn't think the Pope was aware of all the false teachings and all the abuses that were going on in Germany, because, again, Germany was weeks away from Italy as you traveled in the 16th century. In fact, Luther wrote to the Pope saying that the Pope is sitting like a lamb in the midst of wolves. And he said to the Pope, you are worthy of a better age. Luther didn't think the Pope was aware of what was going on in Germany. Luther was wrong. But Luther said he had to write this pamphlet as everything else he had to write. He said, I would be dumb in the cause of Christ my Master if I didn't do this. And he told the pontiff that he was sending him this little treatise, this little pamphlet, published in his name. He dedicated it to the Pope, as I said, as a good omen of the establishment of peace and of good hope. Luther hoped this little document would help ease some of the tensions between him and the church in Rome, bring peace, bring hope. Again, Luther was wrong, because within the year he would be excommunicated by the pontiff, and things would really get nasty in 1521. Luther was a very good writer, an excellent writer. Luther's works extend for 54 printed volumes. This man wrote a lot. He was an excellent writer. And as he starts his treatise, he does what every English teacher taught us to do. Get to your point right away. So in the third paragraph of this short little treatise, Luther lays out his thesis. Two main points. He says this: a Christian man is free, Lord of all, and subject to none. And his second point: a Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. Luther declared that through Jesus Christ we are free. That through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who told us in John's gospel we would be free in him, we have all the freedom we want, freedom of salvation, freedom on how to live our lives. Luther declares that one thing and one alone is necessary for life, and that's justification and Christian liberty, and that is the most holy word of God, the gospel of Christ. If you were here last week, you remember the gospel text, the rich man in Luke 18. Who comes to Jesus with that question that people ask all the time, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do, Jesus, to get into heaven? It is an age-old question. It's one last week I talked about how Luther wrestled with this question in his life. And Jesus, after he tells the rich man to sell everything he had and give it to the poor and follow him, and the rich man leaves him, and the disciples say, well, who can be saved? Jesus reminds us that with humans it is impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. Luther's message in the Reformation is that we are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That faith is at the heart of who we are and what we believe. That we as Christians should toss aside any notion we might have that we can be good enough or we have to be good enough and do enough good things in order to earn our way into heaven. It's not going to happen. But Luther reminds us that the highest worship we have, the most important thing we are to do, is to ascribe to God who has saved us the truth, righteousness, and whatever qualities God deserves. And then Luther does something very interesting. He switches the discussion to marriage. And he holds up this amazing passage from Ephesians chapter 5. As I said, this is the greatest passage in the Bible about marriage. But it is about so much more than just marriage. I love it when I meet with a couple and we go through a little list. I have a little sheet of passages you can use at weddings. And most of the passages, you know, love is faithful and kind, you know, those, they have nothing to do with marriage. There's only a few passages in the Bible that deal with marriage. And I love it when we pull out Ephesians 5, which is the one I always encourage couples to think about, and we come to this verse. And I can just see the bride-to-be going. And then comes the giant, time out! And we have to talk about what Luther is talking about. Because Luther has an important point, as did the Apostle Paul have an important point. And we shouldn't get bent out of shape, we 21st century wise Americans, on what these ancient words say and don't say. Paul's point about marriage and the relationship between a man and a woman goes back to our relationship with Christ. That's what this passage is all about. And Paul equates our human relationships and ties them into our relationship with God. In Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul talks about the relationship between a man and a woman in a marriage. He talks about the relationship between parents and children and how they're to treat one another. He even talks about the relationship between a slave and a master. And he says to wives, you should be subject to everything and to your husbands. But he says stuff for the guys, too, ladies, just so you know. He says, husbands should love their wives. How much should they love their wives? Well, he makes it pretty clear. They should love their wives as much as Jesus loved the church. And how much did Jesus love the church? Well, he died for the church. That's kind of a lot of love. And then he says, husbands should love their wives as much as they love their own bodies. Wives, do you ever get a free gun show at home? Do you have that hunk of masculinity in your house parading around, reminding you how lucky you are to be married to him? Paul's got a point here. He says that no one ever hates their own body. But we all take care of our bodies, right? We nourish them, we tenderly care for them, just as Christ does for the church. Because Paul reminds us we are members of his body in the church. Paul here describes a mystery. He says this mysterious relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is echoed and reflected in our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And there's a deeper point involved. Going back to what Luther then says in his little pamphlet on the freedom of a Christian, he says, the incomparable grace of faith is this, that it unites the soul of Christ as a wife to the husband. Says Paul, the relationship between the church and Jesus is the same as the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. We are intimately connected to one another. We are bound to one another. We do things for one another. In a marriage, the vows used to be for better or for worse, right? Not the comic strip, but that is how we promise. And when we get married, we do not know what lies ahead of us. My favorite cousin, Patty, was married in 1971. 3 months later, she was killed by a drunk driver. She had 3 months of marriage. In my former congregation, I knew Ernie and Virginia Zelmer, who were married for 72 years. We don't know what our relationship will bring us. We all, those of us who've been married, who are married, who've been in a relationship, we know the joys that come with relationships. We know the sorrows that come with relationships. We know the ups that come. We know the downs. That's what you get in marriage, but you are bound together through all those things. We also know that marriage is a teamwork of sharing. In the state of Wisconsin, it's 50-50. 50% of what the husband owns is the wife, and 50% of what the wife owns is the husband. But it is much more than that. As Christians, we know that in any relationship, we are to intimately share not just our money and possessions, but our hopes, our dreams, our feelings, our thoughts, everything. I know it's trite, but Jerry Maguire really did get it right. We are to complete one another. And Martin Luther declares that in marriage, a husband and a wife complete one another. And in faith, Jesus Christ completes us. He acquaints Jesus to a loving husband. He says, Christ, that rich and pious husband, takes a wife as a wife, a needy and impious harlot. I'll just give another time out right here. All right. This is not an overall statement of men versus women. Martin Luther is bringing back the image from the Old Testament of the prophet Hosea, who was commanded by God to marry a prostitute named Gomer, lovely name, Gomer, to show Israel about their sinful relationship with him. Luther is equating that. That Christ is the loving husband who takes us, the sinful wife, and he redeems us from all of our evils, and he supplies us with all good things. In marriage, a husband and wife, they build on one another. I like to say that I am a much better person for having been married to Karen for 37 years than I would be if I were not married to her. And Christians, unrighteous as we are, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can claim the righteousness which he has. Jesus Christ is a present to us from God. And through Christ, we are joined and we have freedom, joy, and forgiveness. Christ is the one who makes us free. And Luther declares that the Christian man is the most free Lord of all, subject to no one. But he wants us to know something else. The fact that we are made free through Jesus Christ doesn't give us the right to be lazy or selfish or only care about ourselves. A marriage that ends up like this, not a real good relationship unless the wife really likes to row a boat, all right? We're also called to be servants, which brings us to the second part of what Luther says. That a Christian man, a Christian woman, a Christian child is also the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. In our gospel story for today, James and John, they come to Jesus and they're thinking only of themselves. They have followed Jesus for 1 to 3 years now. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem. They think he's going there to take over, to get rid of the Romans and everyone they don't like. And they want Jesus to give them positions of power and authority. But Jesus reminds them, that's not the way it works, guys. If you're following me, if you want to be great, you've got to be last. If you want to be served, you've got to be servant. Why? Because I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Says Jesus, freedom in me is not freedom for yourself to have great and wonderful things. Freedom in me is freedom to be a servant. Luther declares that good works do not make a good man, but a good man does good works. Christ has not freed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil in order to make us selfish and lazy. He has saved us to do good works. And we do these good works freely, with one goal in mind, not to earn ourselves, not to earn our way into heaven, but we do these good works so that we may please God. I go to fabric stores. Why do I go to fabric stores? Because I love looking at bolts of cloth. I go to fabric stores because my wife says, would you go to the fabric store with me? That's what you do. My wife looks at coins. Now, I know the joy that brings her. You're visiting today, I'm a coin collector, okay, and my family runs away when I bring up my coins. Why does she look at my coins? Because she's my wife, and she knows that pleases me. In marriage, we do things to please one another. In friendships, we do things to please one another. As Christians, we do things to please and honor God. So many people in life, they're looking for the meaning of life. What is it all about? Well, Luther spells out the meaning of life for us here, he says. Here is truly the Christian life. Here is faith really working in love. What's it all about? It is faith working in love. When a man applies himself in joy and love to the works of the freest servitude. Now, we don't normally think about being a servant as being free. Most people, their aspiration in their career is not to be a servant of all. But that is what we are called to do and be as Christians. And Luther, the Apostle Paul, and our Lord Jesus all declare that we are most free when we are serving others. Luther says, when we do those things which serve others voluntarily and for naught. As Christians, we don't do good things for others because I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, I'll do something nice for you, but I'm going to expect something in return. No, we do things without any expectation of being repaid because it's free, it's voluntary. It is all tied into our relationship with God. He abundantly satisfies in the fullness and riches of his own faith. Why do Christians do good things? Because we are satisfied with our lives. We are satisfied with our faith, and we are thankful to God for all he has done. If you watch the show, you know Stewie, right? And you know lots of us, we go through life just me, 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 me. All we think about is what I want, what I want, what I want, and the Bible continually reminds us that is a really bad way to live your life. Luther declares that all I have is in Christ. That there is nothing, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that will be able to separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are free to be. We are free to be something we could never imagine we could possibly be on our own. I am sure that Martin Luther and the Apostle Paul never thought that God could take them and make them into the servants they became. What about you? What about me in our lives? How is God working in us to free us to be his servants? And I love these next lines of Luther. He says, I will therefore give myself as a sort of Christ to my neighbor. As Christians, when we do nice things, when we do good things for others, it's not just because we're nice people. We hope we are, but it means that we are trying to imitate Jesus Christ. We are truly living out that great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves because we know what love is. Give me a second. We're not called to just go through the motions of life. Too many people live their lives just going through the motions, and life is too short and too precious to just go through the motions. Luther, he concludes this beautiful little treatise by giving us a rule. His rule is this. The good things which we have from God ought to flow from one to another and become common to all. As Christians, we are to share love and care with everyone. Why? So that in every way, all of us, and this ties into Jim's little message today, we may put on our neighbor and thus so behave toward him as if we were himself in his place. You talk about walking a mile in your neighbor's shoes. Luther uses the image of put on your neighbor's clothing, live your neighbor's life, see what your neighbor's life is like, and then walk a mile in his shoes, love him, and put a smile on the face of Jesus Christ. And then as a good writer, he concludes it all, he wraps it all up, and he says, a Christian man does not live by himself, but in Christ through faith. And a Christian man lives in his neighbor, serves his neighbor in love. As Luther declares, that our faith in Jesus Christ carries us upwards to God, and it also brings us down below to serve everyone around us. So, in summary, again, we'll talk about this more in our adult forum today. Jesus Christ makes you free. You don't have to be good enough to earn your salvation. It's a gift from Jesus Christ. But he also makes you a servant who lives and loves in his name. So again, may we say thank you to Brother Martin. And throughout this year, this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, as we hear his words, his teachings about his life, may Luther inspire us to do what God calls us to do, to be the people God wants us to be, and to live out the joy of knowing that by grace we have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And as part of that celebration, We now have the great privilege of welcoming into our congregation a group of families and individuals who are joining us. Some are at this service, and some will be at the next service. And I invite you, if you're one of our new member families or individuals, would you please just come down here and face the congregation in front of